some of us play this game. God, you can't see me. You really don't know. You're not aware of my issues. And God is completely, absolutely, 100% aware of who we are, where we're at, what we're doing, and what we're struggling with.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, I'm Joshua Hollick. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, and I'm wondering, are you new to Chicagoland? Have you moved and not landed in a healthy church home yet? My prayer for you, and our prayer for you and Pastor Mark's here at Straight Talk, is that you would find a strong, healthy church to be a part of, to invest in, and also to grow with. I know for me, over the last 17 years, being a part of a vibrant church has been one of the greatest things that has helped me grow in my walk with faith. It's helped my family grow. It's helped me develop in every area of my life. And we're praying that you would find a great church to be a part of, especially if you're new to the area. You got to come and visit us. We're in your neighborhood probably. And you could find out more at www.newlifechicago.org. There's lots of great churches in the city, and we pray that you would find one of them. If you're having a hard time, come and give us a visit. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning in English, in Spanish, and even in Mandarin. So check us out at newlifechicago.org and find a church somewhere and get involved. May God bless you and may He bless the local congregation in your neighborhood.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Tonight we continue on with the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Your Problem Is Not Your Problem. It's from his series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion, from the book of Luke. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
My real problem has to do with my mother-in-law that just doesn't understand me, or my boss that's really aggravating me, or the neighborhood that I live in, or my roommate conditions, and you're looking at problems out on the outside, scrubbing really hard, but nothing changes because the real problem is a problem on the inside. John chapter 4 tells us a story of Jesus' encounter with a woman who seems to be focused on the outside problems, but Jesus digs quickly to the real issue, which is the issue on the inside. And so if you're tuning in your Bibles to John chapter 4, let me just read a couple of verses about this story. And I believe that this story gives us an insight into how God can change a heart. So if you're here today and you realize that your heart needs to change, I want you to listen to what Jesus does with this woman. How do we really change? I believe there's several key things that Jesus does. Number one, He helps her admit that she had a need. And the question I have for you today is, are you willing to acknowledge that you need help? It tells us in John chapter 4, verse 4, now he, speaking of Jesus, was going through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Now, let me pause there and simply say that scholars tell us that no one goes to draw water from the well at noon. I've been to the Middle East, and it is blazing hot at noon. People that went to the well, they would go early in the morning before the sun came out, or they would go in the afternoon after the sun had gone down. But no one in their right mind carries buckets of water at noon in 110 degree weather. So most scholars agree that this woman was there at noon because she was avoiding other people. It's like when you go grocery shopping at 3 a.m. It's either because you partied too long or because you just don't want to see anybody else and you don't want to fight with crowds. She was avoiding people. And initially, we don't see why she was avoiding people. And I love this because even when you're avoiding people, Jesus can meet you right where you need to be met. And the Bible tells us that this woman sat at the well and Jesus engaged her in a conversation. We see immediately from her response that she was guarded, defensive. Jesus simply asked if she could draw water from a well, and she immediately says, "Why are you asking me for water? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, you're a man, I'm a woman, so why would you ask me for water?" You can almost see her head going like this. And as we get into the story, we start discovering the real issue. We start discovering that this woman, well, she wasn't just antisocial. She was like many people in our society today. She had been deeply hurt, wounded, rejected. She had experienced a series of bad marriages, to be exact, 5. It doesn't get into her story, but I've been around enough divorce and remarriage and remarriage that I know how the story goes. Maybe as an 18-year-old young girl full of idealism in her heart, she dreamed of a wedding in which a white knight would sweep her up and romanticize her, and that their life would be this beautiful fairy tale story of love and delight. And 6 months into her marriage, she realizes that story has turned into a nightmare. And before she knows it, she's in divorce court on her way, and he has gone his way. Like most divorced people, she probably assumes it was just the wrong guy. She spends a little time healing from her wound, but soon she finds another guy that's the polar opposite of who she married the first time. Someone that's totally different personality. And she thinks, aha, he's the guy. I just need to marry the right person. And so she marries on a rebound who she thinks will be the solution to her life. And before she knows it, it lasts a little longer, but she's in divorce court again. Now it's her second divorce. And a third divorce happens, and a fourth divorce happens. Every time she's becoming more angry, more bitter, more distrustful. In her heart, she's thinking, I can never trust a man. They always disappoint you. They always mess up. They always use you. They never are true to their word. And by the time she's divorced her fifth husband, she decides, I will never marry again. They use you. They misuse you. They lie. They're cheaters. They're connivers. Never trust them in your life. And so now she just lives with the guy, waiting for the time that she's got to kick him out. So she goes to the well. She's cynical. She's critical. She's hurt. She's avoided by other people because she's had some bruises and breakups, resentment, hurt, and brokenness in life. She encounters Jesus, who tells her in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you for a drink, you would have asked him. You see, what Jesus quickly tells her is, I asked you for a drink of water, but if you knew me, if you really knew me, you would be asking me for help. If you knew Jesus, and you're here today, and I don't know what life has done to you, I don't know your story, I don't know your bruises and difficulties and failures, I don't know what emotional condition you came in here today, but if you knew Jesus the way he really is, you would be asking him for something that only Jesus can give you, living water. And then he goes on, and not only does he lead her to the point where she has to admit that she needs help, but he leads her to understand that she's got to stop concealing her issues. And that's the question I have for you today. Are you willing to take an honest look at your issues? In verse 3, Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give them will become to them spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman says, hey, I want some of that water, I guess, if I don't have to come to the well again. If I drink this water and I'm never thirsty. And then Jesus masterfully goes to the heart of the issue. He says, well, go call your husband and come back. And she says, I have no husband. And he says, you're right. You have no husband. You've had 5, and the man you're living with is not your husband right now. You see, what Jesus does is he goes to the core of the issue. He goes to her heart. He goes to the place of failure, of brokenness that she thinks no one knows about, but Jesus has always known. Most of us have issues in our life that we tried to hide. It's like trying to take a beach ball and put it underwater. Have you ever done that? You're at a pool or by the beach, and you take a ball, that floating ball, that colorful beach ball, and you put it underwater. But what's the thing about a beach ball? It keeps popping up. You put it down here, and it pops up behind you. You throw it down here, and it pops up again. When you take your hand off of it, it pops up. You sit on it, and it's hard to keep it down. It's hard to keep it under the water because it bounces to the top. Some of you live your life that way. You're trying to hide the issue as much as you can. It's a struggle to hide the issue. You keep it covered as long as you can, but it keeps popping up. You get mad, it pops up. You get in a conversation, it pops up. Someone from your past brings it up. You drink a little too much and it pops up. It's always popping up, even though you try to keep it under wraps. This woman didn't want people to know about her failure, her past, her brokenness. But yet it seems like it kept popping up. The more she tried to hide it, the further it popped up. And Jesus points to it. He's not avoiding it. He's not condemning her because of it. He simply points to the issue of her heart and lets her know, I know about it. I've seen it. I know about it. Stop hiding it. You know, we have this idea that somehow if we hide our issues, they'll go away or no one will find out. But I want you to know something about God. He knows you better than anybody else in the universe. There's nothing that you can hide from God. Nothing. I remember when my daughter, who is now 23, but she was 2 at the time, she liked to play hide and go seek, and I was the willing participant. And so she would say to me, Daddy, I'm going to go hide, count to 10, close your eyes. So I would dutifully say 1, 2, 3, not yet, Daddy, 4, 5, hold on, Daddy. And then I would say, are you ready? She would say, yes. And so I would go walk through the house, go into the room that I knew she was hiding in. And there she would be in the corner. She would be in the corner, squatted down, hiding behind a thin lamppost. And I would walk in the room and say, where is this little girl? Where could she be? I wonder where she's at. And she'd giggle, thinking like, he has no idea. And in her mind, she was hiding very well behind that little lamppost. In her mind, I couldn't see her. And I think it's that way with God, that some of us play this game. God, you can't see me. You really don't know. You're not aware of my issues. And God is completely, absolutely, 100% aware of who we are, where we're at, what we're doing, and what we're struggling with.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, Your Problem is Not Your Problem. It's from Pastor Mark's series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to the book of Luke. We're in Pastor Mark's message called, Your Problem is Not Your Problem.
This woman thought she could conceal her issues or divert attention, but Jesus knew exactly the condition of her heart. And not only did Jesus lead her to admit her need, step out of denial, then we see that Jesus helps her not to hide behind religion. Are you willing to stop hiding behind your religious tradition? In verse 19, finally, when Jesus brings out the fact that he knows that she's been married 5 times, that she's got a string of brokenness in her life, then suddenly she diverts the attention to arguing about religion. She says, Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. So she goes to a common argument between the Samaritans and the Jews, and she leads it to a religious argument. And I've seen that over and over. People are more comfortable arguing about religion than talking about their personal issues before God. We would rather argue denominations and argue about religious practices than we would talk about our own need for God in our life. How many times have I had a conversation with someone who is broken, who really desperately needs a relationship with God? And when we get to a critical point where they have to really talk about surrendering to God, they'll suddenly switch it uncomfortably to arguing about, well, you guys believe this and we believe this, or you meet on this day and we meet on that day, and they want to argue about religion. Can I tell you something? Religion and your religious tradition, no matter what religious background you come from, do not make you right with God. What makes you right with God is a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and a willingness to surrender to Him, no matter what religious background you come from. You can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And obviously you'll never hear about Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Lutheran, Assembly of God, Pentecostal. And you may hide behind your religious tradition and say, well, in my tradition we do this, or in my tradition we do that. And really, God is not asking you about tradition. He's asking you about how is your heart with God. I don't believe that when you stand one day before your judge, God the Father, He's going to ask you now, what religion, what brand of Christianity were you again? I don't think God is ever going to ask that. He's not going to say, well, what kind of church did you go to again? And what was your religious background you were raised in? Tell me. Because all the people of this brand, you're okay. All the people of this brand, you're not okay. No, God's not going to do it that way. It's never been about religion. It's about our relationship with the living God. And so some need to stop arguing about what religious background you came from. And you need to start asking yourself, not what religious background did I come from, but how is my relationship and walk with the living God? Is my heart surrendered to Him? Am I walking in communion with Him? Am I far from God? And the Bible tells us that Jesus kind of broke through that, and He tells her ultimately that the kind of people that God seeks are those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then lastly, not only did He lead her to admit her need, step out of denial, stop arguing about religion, but He helped her understand that you can't wait for a better time. Are you willing to take a step of change today? See, finally, this woman at the well acknowledges her need, her problem, that she can't fight about religion. And so when Jesus presses her a little bit, she says, well, I know the Messiah called the Christ is coming. When He comes, He'll explain everything to us. That's called postponement. In essence, she was saying, one day, I'll figure things out. One day, I'll understand. One day, I'll get things right with God. One day, in the future, sometime later on. I've talked to so many individuals that have that mentality. One day, sometime in the future, when the timing is right, then I'll finally get serious about my walk with God. When I have time and life isn't so hectic, well, that's when I'll get serious. When I get married and I settle down, then my wife and I, then we'll do it together. Hey, when we have children and we have to take them to Sunday school and teach them the ways, then we'll get serious. Yeah, then it's going to happen. Hey, when I get my act together, right now I'm a mess. But when I finally clean up my life a little bit, get my act together, then I'm going to get really serious about God. When I switch jobs, this is a terrible job. It stresses me out. I cuss and swear too much. I have to drink in the evenings. But when I get a better job and I'm more calmed down, then, hey, I'm going to get really into God. When I move to a better place, different neighborhood, then I'll get into God. I'll finally make things right. It's always in the future. And what we don't realize, What this Samaritan woman didn't realize is that she talked about the future without understanding that Jesus was present there right at that point in time, right in her presence, saying, now, today is the time. Now is the moment. Don't wait. You see, the Bible says, today if you hear his voice, today, do not harden your heart, but respond to him. The truth is that there is no tomorrow promise to us. The Bible says that our life is like a vapor. It's here a moment, it's gone the next. You may not have a tomorrow promise to you. Life is short. Eternity's close. God is real. Our need is desperate. I believe that God brought some of you here today so that you could hear a clear presentation of the gospel message, and it's very simple. The simple message is this. It's like I told a young man at the end of our 9:30 service. He came up to me and with tears in his eyes, and he said, Pastor, he said, I want to come to God. I feel so, so unworthy to come to God. I feel so unworthy. And I looked at him and I said, you are. You are extremely unworthy. In fact, if you got what you deserved, you would get hell. Some of you may be shocked by that. And I said, and I would be right beside you because I am as unworthy as you are. That's why we need a Savior. His name is Jesus. You see, if we could make it on our own, Jesus would have never come. If you could be good enough, Jesus would have never come. If you could make peace with God without the sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God, he would never come. The good news, first of all, has to be predicated upon bad news. The bad news that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The bad news is that one sin in our life condemns us before God. The bad news is that there's no one righteous, no, not one. There's no one that can stand before God and said, I've been a good enough person to make it into your presence. All of us fall short. None of us are worthy. There's none of us that make the standard of God's perfection. We are all cut from the heavenly draft. Because we don't make it. If there were another way, Jesus would have not have come. Jesus died on the cross, and when he died on the cross, he raised his voice to heaven and he said in the Hebrew, tetelestai, which means paid in full. What was paid in full? The sins of all humanity. Your sin and my sin were paid by the sinless Son of God that hung on a cross and paid the debt that you and I should have paid. No one could pay it except someone without sin. And now, the gift is offered to you. It's the gift of eternal life. It's the gift of forgiveness. It's the gift of coming to God. But you have to receive it. And there's only one way to receive it. The Bible's very clear about this. We must repent and believe and follow him with the step of baptism. Repent and believe and be baptized. It's said over and over in Scripture. What does it mean to believe? We must believe that he's the Son of God, that he's all God, that he died on the cross, that no one else could lead us to the Father but through him. We must repent. Repent means that I must turn my back on the way I've been going and say, I can't go that way anymore. I choose to follow the way of Christ, and I must receive him as my Lord and my Savior. When I do that, there's something powerful that happens. The Holy Spirit comes inside of me and starts giving me the power to live for him. The Bible calls it being born again. I have no desire to make you more religious. I don't care what your religious background is. It doesn't matter to me how you were raised. But I do feel compelled to ask, how is your relationship with God? Have you trusted him? Have you surrendered to him? And if not, no baptismal certificate, no catechism, no infant sprinkling can save you except a personal relationship with God that's your choice.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. Tonight was the second half of his message called Your Problem is Not Your Problem. This concludes our series. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, Josh, and myself, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful night, and God bless.